This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brody. Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yes, sir. A Bears hit with Mark Grody. By the way, our segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by McGrath City Honda. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. Hey, Groats.
What's going on, gentlemen? Obviously, frigid cold out here at Hallis Hall today, and the Bears today performed a walkthrough practice. I do believe it was in the outdoors, but again, a walkthrough practice. So everything that you see appearing or are hearing about on the injury report for the Bears is just an estimation, and the estimations are in, and the following players did not, would not have practiced today, including Ryan Bates, Josh Blackwell, Jervon Dexter, Roschon Johnson, as well as DeAndre Swift. And one other injury note, too, that Jaquan Brisker would be eligible to come off IR and potentially play this week. Thomas Brown did not rule out that possibility, but certainly did not give us any direction on whether or not Brisker would play. We're just talking about it with a few other media members just now. I would tend to doubt that that would be a good idea, but we shall see. He would be eligible. Front and center today, guys, of course, was Caleb Williams.
Hey, Groats, before you get to that, can I just ask one more thing about the injury thing? Blackwell, it could be important because he was the punt returner with now DeAndre Carter on injured reserve, right? So it's kind of an interesting thing in terms of Blackwell in that way.
Yeah. Blackwell today, he was, yes.
Non-participant, so.
Yeah. Well, all right. Hold on. No, you're right.
Maybe it's only interesting to me, Mark. I'm sorry I derailed you. I'd like to apologize to everybody. I'd like to point the thumb.
No, that's totally fair. That's totally fair, man. Yeah, no, I was just like looking at my phone here. I'm like, yeah, I did not mention Josh Blackwell there. And while I'm at it, Elijah Hicks does have an ankle injury. He was limited, and good to see that Travis Homer was a full participant. But yeah, with DeAndre Swift going on IR, they've got to figure out who is going to be returning the kicks, and we shall see.
Yeah, DeAndre Carter. Okay, sorry. Now let's get back to our regularly scheduled Mark Grody appearance.
I can't believe it.
Thank you, John.
John Heyman, not a fan of the last exchange.
Oh man, it's gonna be a long time before I that doesn't get me every time. All right, Caleb Williams and how he has been dealing. How have you been handling all the losing, Caleb Williams?
Yeah, it's tough. It's interesting. Is the way I put it. I've never had a streak like this of losing in my playing. So I ask questions. I do understand that this is one, my first time kind of being a part of something like this, of losing and this, you know, this streak going. So I asked questions to the guys that, you know, may have lost a bunch of games or in a row like this, or, you know, had losing seasons. And I asked some questions because, you know, the more knowledge that I have prepares me for the future. If this ever, you know, comes close to, you know, something like this again, and, you know, I'm going to work hard and make sure it doesn't. But if it ever happens again, figuring out ways to, you know, keep going, keep pushing, because it's part of it. You know, seasons like this happen every once in a while, and being able to learn from it, being able to address it, like you spoke about with TB, he's addressing it, and you know, being able to respond is the most important thing.
You know, a lot of times Caleb has talked about his college career, like he had adversity and he had some, and he would point to like certain things that he could relate to. Hey, it's all right to be honest about how this is new territory.
Yeah, when he talks about it, it's weird and it's tough to deal with. And he's talked to other players in the locker room. Like we were, know your Bears losing streaks. We were talking about it, you know, about Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet. You can go right to those guys and they'd be like, yo, we've dealt with these losing streaks every single, you should have been around for this 10 gamer we had, man. It was something. So I think that he does find some comfort, some solace in having those conversations with some of the veteran players. And for any college player, like any great college player who comes into the pros and they have to deal with losing for the first time in their life, it's not uncommon.
Yeah, but like there's a difference between we lost a couple of games and we might end up 4-13.
Yeah, like we've lost 7 in a row. What's it like? Who do you walk up to? Hey, Cole, come here. Cole, let's talk. Yeah,
you've been on a bunch of bad teams. What's it like?
Hey, loser.
This is how it feels.
Hey, could I get some losers over here to talk to me about this?
Every damn week we lost for 10 weeks, Caleb. Don't you come here with this 7-game losing streak. Nobody wants to hear about it. But yeah, I mean, this has been, I mean, to add to your point, Lawrence, there's also been an offensive coordinator fired. There's been a head coach that has been fired. There's a new head coach. There's a new offensive coordinator. I mean, it's dizzying to me. I don't know about you guys, but the perspective that Caleb Williams continues to have, no matter what he says, when he actually goes home for the day and he throws his feet up and he's shaking his head, there's probably a different Caleb Williams there.
Sure.
He's handled it all pretty well.
He's doing all the things that you need to do as a quarterback of a franchise. I'm amazed that as a rookie, he's handled this as well as he's handled it.
Absolutely. But like, we spent some time yesterday or 2 days ago telling Caleb and telling the Bears to let it fly. And sometimes when you're losing a lot like this, and your priorities can change. So he's probably, you know, I would think having some of those kind of conversations. Caleb's the one who called Ryan Poles the king when he showed up at training camp and Hard Knocks. He's caught there saying like, oh, there he is, the king. How's he feel about Ryan Poles now?
The Don, as I call him. The Poles, Don. Chef Poles.
Chef, the Don, the chef.
Oh, wow. Man, I can't believe it. He did, I would say, as a headline. I don't know if that made sense, what I just did, but I did it.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John.
I'm never going to get enough of that. Caleb Williams, I would say, gave a vote of confidence to Ryan Poles. But the question to Caleb Williams is why?
Being able to be around him, being able to see the type of guy he is, how much he cares. Y'all only get to see a glimpse of it from y'all's perspective. And then obviously, you know, in the media, and we did Hard Knocks recently and kind of got a glimpse of it. But, you know, the amount that he cares about us, Chicago Bears, and wanting to win is why my faith is in him and believing in him and, you know, making sure that we get it right. That's a short answer to it.
What about from a personnel and planning standpoint?
Yeah, I can't speak on personnel planning because I'm not in there. I'm not in there, you know, asking questions about who, what. I'm not in there, you know, discussing further plans and things like that with him. Like I said before, it's not my job. But you know, from my perspective, and the player and being here now for a good little minute, you know, you see how much he cares about the right things. And you know, that being us and our development and all of those things. You know, I think him leaning in those things, you know, helps show us as players that he does care and that he does want to win and, you know, trying to find ways to win. And it's, you know, just like playing quarterback, it's a hard job being able to, you know, predict the future and get making sure you get the right people here. But, you know, I think he's so far done a good job.
It's got to be so rough for him because we're asking this 22-year-old to speak to the organizational problems of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it's unfair, but I understand why the questions are asked.
No, I do too. It's just that this is exactly what he didn't want to have happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of it has happened.
Yeah.
And that sucks for him.
I wonder if he wants to say, I don't know, I just want to play quarterback, man. I'm worried about my own thing. And that'd be okay. It'd be okay. If he ever snaps and says that at any point, I'm not going to get upset with him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think that's kind of what he was saying. But and I was one of the people that opened up this line of questioning.
I'm not surprised. Stir in the pot, Grody.
You know how I do. You know,
I can't even believe it.
Thank you,
John. I can't even believe it.
What I am measuring, I think, with Caleb Williams is at what point does he become unhappy? Because right now, you're right, Spiegel, it does sound like he's very willing to be like, hey, look, what Ryan Poles does with personnel, that's not my business. But at what point in time, like any quarterback that is good, and we know that he's not there yet. He's not a great quarterback yet in the NFL, but it sure seems like he's headed in that general direction. At what point will they begin to acquire their own power and become unhappy? Because at the very bottom line, it was important enough for Ryan Poles to have a conversation with Carl Williams, his dad, and Caleb, and give them the whys on why is it going to be different this time around with this organization. So that's my motivation, is this kid happy here? And I think that's a temperature that we're going to probably take throughout his entire tenure, depending on what happens, on how good or bad he becomes as a quarterback.
I mean, Tanny's the one who knows all the mob history and the mob movies, but it's rare that a Don becomes the underboss. You know what I mean? Usually the Don has to get whacked, and then there's a new underboss. But we'll see how it develops, sir. What else you got from Caleb?
Yeah, you know, he was asked what he wants to work on, like to the point of let's just get out here and play football over the next four games. What does he want to work on? And then what about his relationship with Thomas Brown?
You know, I still want to keep working on my feet and things like that. I think that's one of the things, making sure just being – completely in rhythm throughout the whole game. I think that's one that, one that I want to work on. And I think Thomas and I have done a solid job so far. Obviously, it can be better. You know, there's small mistakes that maybe the snap point of certain motions and you know, things like that that you know, that I can get better at. That mean, you know, a lot to a defense if we have a fast motion where we snap it. You know, means a lot to the other side of the ball. So being detailed, being on point, you can always, you know, get better and grow from there.
Groats, was he asked at all about holding the ball longer this past week? What you know, if that was an issue from his perspective?
Yeah, not really specifically this past week, but in general, the idea of him taking a lot of sacks did come up. And I know that that's obviously what you're referencing. And he said he kind of, again, generalizing what he said, it's a work in progress. He said some of it's his fault. He says sometimes it's not all of his fault. So I think it's something that is very much on his mind, Speaks, and something that they're working on in terms of something that he knows he's got to get better at, but I think there's a collective going on here, obviously.
I mean, I know that he spoke about the situation with Thomas Brown, but it is different. Like, because Thomas Brown now isn't just focusing on Caleb, like, that relationship becomes a little bit different. And I think that Thomas Brown is trying to find his footing, too, on handling all of this. And it's part of the reason, Groats, that the Spiegs and I were both like, you know what? Like, I'm not saying do anything that's necessarily outside of the game plan, but I'd be totally okay if Caleb was like, yep, I'm just going to take some risk in this game because screw it. Why not take the risk? Because it's not like you're if you play bad, you have a three-pick game that you're keeping the Bears from being a playoff team.
Yeah, at a programming note, in about 1 hour, we'll ask Troy Aikman about this exact issue. Go ahead, Groats.
Oh, nice, nice. No, I think, how about early in the game, too? You know, the early drives have been atrocious. Why not heaving it on the first play of the game? Or get ballsy on that, because nothing has worked. I mean, they've looked embarrassing on their opening drives over the last several weeks. Like, that is bad. But three and out, clunky bad. So, right, why not unwind it just a little bit?
Texture says, it's so cool that our veterans are going to teach our new rookie quarterback how to be a loser in this loser organization.
Come here, kid. That's too bad. Komet's like, yo, I got $50 million after last year.
Oh,
yo.
God.
Did you talk to anyone else who's had a hard time losing lately?
Yeah. Well, I thought, I got a couple cuts here from Jalen Johnson. And first of all, let's discuss the season is not over angle with Jalen Johnson.
When you get to the point like this where there's like quote unquote nothing left to play for, especially playoff wise, is it tough at that point to still be all in all the time?
No, it's not hard at all. I mean, when you step between those lines, you're trying to whip the man in front of you. So I mean, that's still what the game is about. It's simplified, yeah, playoff hopes and all that, but you still play for your name. Your resume is still out there. So I mean, you can tank all you want, and that film is going to be out there forever. So, I mean, I know when I step out there, there's always something to prove, regardless of circumstances.
Yeah, you could tank all you want. Been there.
Keep it there. Right.
Keep it. God.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah, so bad. And now check this out. Now, Jalen Johnson, we know how frustrated he's been. I've listened to him on with you guys, which is always incredible radio. How honest, and how down he's been. But this was interesting, a little bit of a different tone about dealing with this 7-game losing streak. Here's Jalen again.
Honestly, I would say checking myself. I think starting with just showing gratitude, honestly, because it's been a tough few weeks, few months now at this point. So I mean, honestly, just thanking God for the opportunity to play this game. Because I mean, it could be a lot worse. I cannot be healthy. I cannot do a lot of things. I cannot be playing a game that I love. So, I mean, honestly, just showing gratitude. And then with that, that brings me more motivation to keep going out there and playing, knowing that I have more opportunities to play. And, again, cherishing these moments with these guys in the locker room. I mean, we want to compete. I mean, not even want to compete. We go and compete, and we want to play and win every game that we can. But sometimes it doesn't work out like that. But we can still have fun, still approach the game the right way, have the right attitude. And at the end of the day, it's all about gratitude.
There you go, Jalen. That's how you get through life in a moment like this. It's exactly
isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the real deal.
Right. A little holiday gratitude in the 7-game losing streak.
Look, man, you gotta
do it.
You gotta do it.
A lot of us do it.
Although that is one of the things that Matt Eberflus got ridiculed for when he was like, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. And they're like, Jalen was like, get your ass up out of here. We're thankful.
Well, there's a time and a place. There's a time and a place. I mean, it's like you can't spin it positive after you've been the guy blowing a fourth game in 5 weeks.
Guys, humility is only possible when the head coach is fired.
Guys, I know that things didn't go well and I froze in those last 30 seconds of the game, but you got to be thankful.
I know your phones are blowing up with people laughing at you.
I know that you got a video of Bill Cowher calling me an idiot, but you got to be thankful. And I just imagine Jay just be like, enough, enough, get your ass up out of here. You stink.
I'm just like going back on my notes from the last Vikings game, because you had that the 4th-and-4 where Cairo Santos starts to make his way on the field. No, go out. No, come back. That was the flu. What else happened? That DeAndre Carter muffed the punt.
Oh yeah.
Good Jordan fun. Addison had 162 yards.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Hockenson had that 134 yard play.
Oh God. Yeah. I don't know. We got time to get ready for the next Vikings loss.
I feel like I'm losing you guys.
What else do you have?
It's interesting because Thomas Brown, I know you've got a Thomas Brown cut. I wonder, was he feisty at all? Was Thomas Brown feisty at all? Was he like annoyed at the effort or, today? You know?
No, he really wasn't actually.
Okay.
He was what happened?
Sorry, I can't even believe it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, guys. Sorry to interrupt the Mully Festival.
That's okay. It's Okay.
I thought this was the fun show. Oh, yeah, now you want to get real serious in your Bears breakdown? Is that what you want to do?
Why did you ask me about Josh Blackwell? Here's about who's been. How about that?
How about that, Mr. In the Weeds?
Yeah.
What's up with that, man?
Hey, Lawrence, this is your show now. You want to make fun of the other show, the fun show? What are you talking about? You're responsible for what happens here as much as the rest of us.
Right. And two of us were having fun.
Yeah.
Unlock me.
Professor.
I have Josh Blackwell questions.
Yeah, Josh Blackwell. What? How dare you ask me about the second string kick returner when I'm not ready for that?
No one was ready for that.
Yeah, nobody. I already feel enough shame for it, okay?
I can't believe it that you did that.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John.
This has been a disaster. This whole thing.
You're never going on WFAN again.
I'm never coming on with you guys again.
And right, book Thomas, it.
Thomas Brown. Guys, motions are up 10% since he has taken over as the play caller. Check this out, Speaks from Thomas Brown.
Okay. You know, I think for me, it was less about that and just more about what I believe philosophically as far as how you build an offense, the difficulties. You talk to defensive coaches of them having to adapt and adjust to, you know, 2x2 to 3x1 motions on a move, full speed, and forcing guys to communicate. I think it also becomes very difficult in this league. I don't care who you're playing with to just be static and line up and beat people. I've been giving them different pitchers, but also giving our guys access in the run game, but also in the pass game was the biggest part of it.
Yeah, so that's cool. I mean, you need a lot of pre-snap motion. You got to try and confuse the defense in this league.
Well, and you can give your quarterback a better snapshot.
Yeah.
It helps in that regard.
And it connects with what Caleb was saying, something he can do better, when to snap the ball at certain times on that motion to make sure, because clearly the guys who do that a lot in the NFL, like Brock Purdy and Goff, who are taking advantage of that kind of thing, the timing is immaculate in those offenses when they're really clicking.
A couple of other things I had. I double circled back to Caleb Williams. I'd actually wanted to ask him about some of the throws that he had in the Minnesota game. Didn't get a chance to during the press conference. But so I went up to him at his locker and I said, "Those the three throws you had, the 40-yarder to Keenan Allen against Minnesota, which was that drop in the bucket, the 30-yarder to Swift, remember where he rolls out of pressure and then throws down the sideline and Swift helps him out." So I asked him about that. Like, was that one of your best throws this year? And he looked at me and he goes, "I don't know." He's like, "I feel like I did that a lot in college." He's like, "Yeah, that really wasn't that big a deal." But he did say that the throw to Keenan Allen, that he would put that in his top five, and that he was a little bit conflicted about the 27-yard bullet that he threw to DJ Moore to set up the game tying field goal against Minnesota, which might have been his best, but that one was like, look, he's like, "I just had to make that play." He's like, "That's do or die at that point." So it was cool to just kind of pick his brain on like what I think are elite throws and the way he perceives them as well.
We still have a lot to be thankful for.
I'm glad that you doubled back like with that, because that's like, I don't want him to be sitting there at the or standing there at the podium just getting sad questions.
Yeah, no, there's
there's
a line of Bears loser players who are waiting to tell him how to live his life.
Right. I was like,
there's a procession of people who've lost a lot of games to tell him how to live.
I wanted to be like, "Do you remember when you threw that 40-yard pass to Keenan Allen
down the field?
Yeah. That was awesome. Did you remember at the end of the game?"
When you guys almost won and then your coach blew it?
Mm. Yeah. Awesome. In each locker stall at Hallis Hall was a glistening, beautiful looking, and I mean this, bottle of tequila, like designer tequila.
Who's making tequila up there?
Stand by. It was called Casa del Sol, Bears, and it was courtesy by, in doing some investigative reporting, as we all kind of were, but we all had our own sources. Per my source, it was courtesy of Simone Biles and Jonathan Owens.
They have their own?
It would appear, now I did not see Jonathan Owens in the locker room. House of the Sun, I guess that would be, right?
It's Eva Longoria's tequila.
Eva Longoria's tequila.
That is, yeah.
It is?
They might be partners, but I'm on the website right now, Eva Longoria.
Oh, sick. Okay.
I'm also looking up Eva Longoria.
This bottle is... Hey, that's a $200 bottle of tequila.
I'm looking up Evan Longoria, who is not involved in this tequila.
There's no way it can be better than Clase Azul, right?
I mean,
$200.
Why should we say that it's not?
We should just go get one,
just in case. Maybe Casa del Sol would like to. You know, the Wani segment's coming up in a half an hour.
Do you grab one, Grody? Was there one? Did Nate Davis still have a locker or something? You grab a bottle of tequila.
He's still playing ping pong.
Yeah, no, but there was. I guess per my podcast partner Dan Wiederer, Jalen Johnson said as we were gathering around his locker, and I was a little bit late to the scrum, said, if there's any bad questions, you have to do a shot. So as Wiederer said, I was tempted to ask some bad questions just to get a shot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good nuggets. So excellent tidbits.
I figured you guys would like that. So
we do. We like you, Mark.
That is all.
Who'd be the drunkest beat reporter, Grody, if that was a rule? Who would be hammered by the time they walked out of there?
Finley.
I you know what? Honestly, let me think. Okay, hold on.
I would say
I don't think Potsy drinks.
Oh wow.
I think that's kind of, it's wild to consider.
Fishbane.
And no, all those guys are reserved. They're all like young dads. Hmm. Emma.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm not just saying that because he's Emma. I don't even know if Emma would like me saying that, but I'm thinking around that room. Maybe Shark. Maybe the Sharky. I think the Shark. Yeah, maybe the Shark.
Thanks, Groats. Hey, would you voicemail me off the air with your Josh Blackwell information?
Yeah, okay? You know what? I'm gonna get the entire depth chart on who might be returning kicks this week.
We'll build you an app.
Yeah. We'll build you an app. All right, guys, that's it. I can't believe it. Goodbye.
I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it.
Oh God, he can't.
It's amazing.
Lawrence, our Cubs thoughts need to come together. At the beginning of the day, I had a Cub thought and you had a Cub thought. I think they can live hand in hand.
I don't know if we'll have enough time.
We'll
see.
I mean, we could.
No.
Jed doesn't think so.
No, I will have time because the other thing, I mean, it is a nice get off my lawn moment for you.
Yeah.
The segment behind it. But
the Cubs thing isn't going anywhere and they haven't done anything.
No, let's... All right, your call. I'm good with whatever you want to do.
Let's back pocket the Cubs thing.
Okay.
I instead have a small baseball item I've been dying to talk to you guys about. Let's do the shorty baseball item.
Okay.
And then I'll get you off my basketball lawn. All of this before Dave Wanstead and Troy Aikman in the next hour on The Score.